Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Goff out, Sarkozy out, Jabir out, Hadamaier out. Surely we must be near the final in Qatar. No, we just finished the second round.
Yeah, nothing like Ben to bring your mood down. Please join us for this episode of The Countdown because we have some positive news too. Luca Dardieri, he's flying the Italian flag, making Sinner proud. We've got Osaka back, she's looking okay. Rabakina is proving the doubters wrong. So sit back, get yourself a hot drink or a cold drink, and welcome to The Countdown.
Novak Djokovic has won the Australian Open. 35 matches unbeaten. He's done it. Carlos Alcaraz. Djokovic has won Wimbledon. He wins his 14th Roland Garros title.
Ha-ha, welcome back, tennis fans, and welcome back on a day that Game to Love really comes into its own. It is the day of love. It is Valentine's Day, JG. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Well, it's nice to see that you've got a little bit happier from the intro where you was naming all of the players which have gone out. A very scathing report on the day in Doha and some other tennis players as well. There was some good stories. I did try and highlight them. And we'll be going through everything in this episode. Before we get into it, have you ordered your roses, Ben, on special delivery for Valentine's Day? Have you got the chocolates ready? What's the plan this year?
Yeah, I mean, they're all suspended in a net. All that happens is I pull a string and then they all fall down from the ceiling in the morning. I mean, that's just the way it's probably going to go. Isn't that what everybody does?
No, I got 1,000 roses and filled up a hotel room. Maybe you're not as romantic as me, but let us know what your plans are on Valentine's Day. Maybe your plan was to watch The Countdown, which, if so, hopefully you get a better plan for next year.
This video is brought to you by Manscaped, the number one grooming, trimming product for your balls and your bodily hair. Me and Ben have worked with Manscaped for a few years now. We love the product, and I hope you guys will too. And you're very lucky because today I'm joined by my beautiful assistant who's going to get naked right now and demonstrate how it works.
I'm just going to shave off my chest there today. No, I'm only joking with you. This is the new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. I mean, look at its sleek design and how stylish it is. This is the best in body hair grooming. I'm telling you that now. And there's no more nicking your balls when you shave. And you can use it in the shower. And it's even got a light on it if you, for some reason, you get a power cut and you still need to shave your balls. Here you go, I'll show you. Look, the light comes on and you can still shave.
I mean, the light's very useful because my bathroom has very low light, so I do like it. And I agree with everything you've said. They also have some really awesome pants as well.
Yes.
We don't even need to promote them, but I just love the pants so much, and you can buy them on the website, so I highly recommend
If you want them, we can give you an exclusive deal. We can get you 20% off and free international shipping with the code GAMETOLOVE20, and you can find our personalized link in the description below.
So remember, use the promo code GAMETOLOVE20 for 20% off plus free shipping, and I'm off to go shave my balls.
Let's get into the tennis, and we're going to start with some women's tennis. And we have a great tweet here which highlights some of the big results today. So I think it was called A Day in Doha at the top, something like that. And this is what's happened. So Alexandrova wins consecutive outdoor hard court matches and will try to win three in a row above 250 for the second time in her career, which is incredible. She's just not that consistent. Terrible day for Sakkari yet again. She's lost an 8 consecutive top 30 match. Only two sets won. She just doesn't do well against big players. Doesn't do well in Grand Slams at the moment at all. And she's now leaving the top 10 after 2.5 years. Goff loses a very random match. Didn't see it coming against a non-top 5 player after 7 months. She was 32-0. We can't be too harsh on Coco Goff. She has been exceptional, but strange loss, I must admit. Where in the past, she only loses to two. Number two, 3 times, number four and number five. Pliskova is in incredible form. Wins for the 6th day in a row between 2 separate tournaments in 2 different continents. So she's flying. Ostapenko stays undefeated in 2024 against everyone but Azarenka. and faces Azarenka next. Serenko gets her first top 10 win in more than 5 years. 0-16 since defeat against Osaka in 2019. And Osaka wins back-to-back matches for the 2nd time in the last 2 years.
Brilliant.
And that's a great one because Osaka was in my top 10. I think she's 700 in the world. But she is a player who I'm hoping can do some damage. Probably not a Roland Garros, and that's relevant to this episode, but you'd expect her still to do all right in this sort of swing in America before we go over to the clay.
Definitely. I think that the big players, like you were saying there, Ostapenko, that's one who jumps off the page, having one of best starts to the year ever. And this, Azarenka bogey player coming up, we're going to see if suddenly she's able to defeat her. I think that she's got it in the tank now. I think that she will be able to beat her, and she could set up a match with Iga Swiatek in the round after that. I believe it's quarterfinals that she could face Iga. And we know what a bogey player, the opposite way round, she is for Iga, because she's never lost to Iga. And she'll fancy her chances. I think they had a really close match, if I'm not mistaken, in the Middle East. I think it was a few years ago where it was won on like a tie break in the 3rd set. So I expect that one to be a very, very close match. And I have no idea who would win it if we get to see it. But Osaka is the story of the tournament, I feel. Rybakina are doing well. But Osaka, I watched her match against Martic earlier today, and I thought that she's hitting the ball exceptionally well, Naomi Osaka. Backhand, forehand. The movement has always been a bit of an issue. So I'm not going to focus too much on that, because I didn't think she was going to have great movement anyway. But her serving looks impeccable, and the ball striking, I mean, she's hitting with some serious power. Some of the winners she was hitting against Martic, I mean, Martic was getting run ragged. She really, really dug in on some rallies, but she just got overhit by Naomi Osaka. And this is great news if you're an Osaka fan, because we will be coming into the big sunshine double that you were just saying. And I think she stands a really good chance of having a good couple of tournaments though.
Well, she got the revenge from Caroline Garcia beating her in Australia, the Australian Open at the start of the year. She's now avenged that and beat her, and playing quite well. When you look around the tour and you look in that top 10, and I'm going to get it up for reference, but they don't feel with much confidence at all, a lot of the top 10 players. I feel like you've got Iga and Sabah. Coco Gauff as well. I think it's a bit of a one-off loss. That's what I'm going to put it down to, but definitely not helping the case for what I'm going to about to say. But the others, Jabeur, Sakkari, Mukova's injured, Vondrousova, Krachikova, Kasatkina, Hadidmaya, Samsonova, Where's Keys, Kvitova, Kudametova, Alexandrova, Svitolina. I just feel like a lot of these players, Garcia, Sestea, I feel they're just very average. They're all pretty similar. And we're just not seeing consistent results from them. I feel like we're going to get a big overhaul in the top 10.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a big overhaul. We're going to see some new names come in there. Maybe some old names in the likes of Ostapenko and Pliskova, who, of course, have been in there before, return. But we're just going to see an overhaul. We'll have the big players, like the likes of your Rabakinas, Igas, Saba, and Coco. I think she'll be fine. But then the other six, I'm not feeling that confident at all. I mean, have we even seen Pegula play?
I'm not even sure the last time that we
Australian
saw
Open, last time we saw her, in which she lost to Burrell. None of them filling me with confidence at all.
Says that she has a bit of an injury, a neck injury. So I'm not sure if that's still a thing for Pegula at the moment. Ons Jabeur, I think we've got to cut her slightly a bit of slack just because she's suffering. I think it's a bit of a knee injury as well at the moment. But like you were saying with the overhaul, I think that we could be seeing that exact thing that you're saying. Obviously, Sakkari, this is quite big because she is like a mainstay. Even though she doesn't win events, she goes deep in events and she tends to stay in that top 10. I think one person that we need to look at who I think could be a real, real like competitor like in that top 10 is your girl, which is Linda Noskova. And I think that she's still playing well. She knocked out Sakkari. That's why it's a good little segue into this little part on her. She had a fantastic one. She beat Iga and she's beaten Sakkari now in the past, what was it, month. I mean, what an incredible year, start to the year for her. And the sky's the limit. She's already like, well, knocking on the door of what, the top 20 now? And then how long, if she continues in that form, until she makes the top 10? Because she's obviously good enough to beat top 10 players. I mean, if we want to talk about young talent as well, Kim Win-jeong as well. She's continuing her winning run. I mean, a win in three sets, but a win's a win. And if she keeps on getting more, racking them up, who's to say she won't be like close to maybe top 5 come the end of the year?
I think she's good, but she's not that great. And I feel she was very lucky with a draw at the Australian Open.
Yeah.
And since then, really. But you can only beat who's in front of you, and she's doing exactly that. And she's flying up through the rankings. But I wouldn't be surprised if throughout the duration of this year, she will go out early in some events because she's going to come up against some better players and find it very challenging. But that's my assessment there. All in all, a lot of big defeats, and it's just showing that a real inconsistency on the tour. Maybe some people will be looking at that thinking that's what makes it so interesting, because each event we're going to be getting different winners and not sure who's going to be taking it. And it does make it quite fascinating. But on the subject of are we, not really, if we have Rabakina, Iga or Saba there, because I feel like all of the others just are complete random. And then them guys just clean it up. Well, but is that not just what the men's is like as well? I mean, with Djokovic, Nadal and Federer.
I mean, this is why it's interesting to have some other names when they come into the picture. And I feel that Ostapenko is one of the only people who can really trouble those big hitters. I'd say Osaka as well, but she still needs to come back a bit. Look what Ostapenko did to... Bear in mind, Kalinina just knocked out Raducanu with a bagel and then I think it was a tie break in the second set. Well, she comes up against Ostapenko, gets bageled herself, and then a 6-3 in the next one. That's how well Ostapenko's playing. It was light work for her. And I'm excited to see her play this next match against Azarenka, because if she wins that one, she'll have overcome a mental demon as well in Azarenka. And then if we get Iga versus Ostapenko and she beats Iga again, then she could be, it could be an Osaka, to be honest. I mean, Osaka's got Sorenko next, and then either Pliskova or Noskova. I mean, it's a possible semi-final here for Osaka if she wants it. It's a nice section for her. And I feel that Noskova's probably the one which she'll fancy her chances getting to a semi-final too.
Moving over to the men's, and we have Rotterdam, which is happening at the moment.
Yes.
I did do a draw preview. Go check it out if you haven't seen it. Yannick Sinner yet to play.
Yeah.
But we've seen some other big players play. Rublev managed to beat Zizou Bergs. Not that convincing. And my pick to win the whole thing is Alex Dimonor. What did you make of that?
I thought it was a nice pick, to be honest. Very solid player. Definitely somebody who starts the year well. We've said that many times. And we are at still the beginning of the year. I think that Korda was not an easy match at all. And
I don't think that beginning of the year thing runs anymore, man. I just think he's going to be a good player.
We'll wait I think and see he's at the end of the year.
I think he's going to finish inside the top 10 this year.
Did you have him in your top 10?
No, but I think that now.
What about
as
Bublik?
Of Valentine's Day, for me, Dimonor is going to finish in the top 10. I think he's so underrated. He's so good. I'm so impressed by him.
Is he your new love?
He's one of my favourite players at the moment, yeah. I've fallen in love with the demon. And
Balter, watch out.
And I feel that he is going to win Rotterdam and surprise some people. Of course, Sinner, the big favourite. I think he's got Rublev in one of the next few matches because he's close in the draw. But there's some good players there. Any results you want to highlight? Have you watched much of it yourself?
Not too much because it's been on during work time. But I'm really impressed with how Bublik's started his year as well. I think that he's taken things a bit more seriously. Obviously, he won the title, which is actually a bit crazy. His last two matches have both been against Borna Coric. So he played him in the final in, is it Montpellier, wasn't it? And then in the first match of the next tournament, he plays him in Rotterdam and then beats him again, a bit more convincingly this time. Bublik's one of those players. If he really focuses, his skill level is super, super high. He's got a massive serve. If he doesn't mess around with all the hitting it with the handle and the underarm, so he's actually a real big threat to like a top 20 player. I think he can beat nearly anybody outside the top 20 with ease, I think. But you see what he's doing, though. He's making waves. And yep, these tournaments, especially there's no Medvedev in this tournament either. So it's one less player to worry about. And in his little section, Bublik's playing Raonic next. I think that's another winnable match.
Yeah, if you want to get on that, it's good odds as well. 1.62 for Bublik. I think he's going to beat Raonic. I watched him the other day, and despite him winning, I thought he was a bit slow.
Well, that injury, I mean, it's just there.
He's not the same Raonic at all, and I think he's very beatable. So I'm surprised the bookies have it as close as what it is, because I think there's good value on a bet for Bublik.
Yeah. Have you noticed there's a change in flag? Shevchenko,
yeah,
obviously was probably getting sick of not having a flag next to his name, and now he is with Bublik in Kazakhstan now. Yeah. So he's changed alliances there. I saw some tweet the other day. I think it was Khachanov. I'm not sure if it was in like a separate tournament, but he was saying that he was playing Zhang, and then everybody was calling him Zizou. But obviously, I think they were thinking of Bergs, I think, and he was like, come on, at least get his name right. That's not his name.
So, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was quite funny, but at least he was calling out. It's a Zizhen, not Zizou.
And what was your prediction for Rotterdam? Because you didn't give it on the podcast.
I know, I wasn't on that one, unfortunately. I was busy. I mean, it was the obvious one, really. I mean, it would have been a bit boring, like me. It would have been probably Yannick Sinner to win it. And I think he's got quite a tough section, to be honest, Yannick Sinner. It's not a given, because he's actually got Boutique van der Zandschulp again. They seem to meet a few times. And then Chapo on Monfils second round. And then potentially Bublik in the quarterfinals. So it's not a... And possibly Ugo Humbert if he has a good run as well. Obviously, there's a lot of tennis to be played. Maybe Hurkacz. It's quite a tough draw, really, I think, for Yannick Sinner on that top half. And we could get Rublev versus Dimonor down the bottom as well. I'd quite like to see that one. I'm not sure who'd win that.
Seeing as we're talking about Italians, can we just move to... Luciano Dardelli.
He's
at a career high at the moment. and he is flying. He's got some good results under his belt. He's just beaten Navone after winning an event. And this is like one of them ones where you looked at it and you thought, yeah, he's probably going to lose. I think that's where the bookies had it so tight, because when you've just gone on and just won all their matches, usually the next one, new tournament, against a tough opponent, you just lose. And I'm just shocked that he managed to win so comfortably. You said he's beaten not that many great players, and I would like to challenge you on that. He's beaten Hanfman, Baez, Bagnes, and Offner.
Yeah. I mean,
and Barrios Vera I like as well.
Those three in a row, I think. I mean, when I said it and then I looked down it after I said it, I was like, actually, probably wrong there. Offner, Hanfman, and Baez all in a row.
And you can't hide on the clay. This is like a real level. And I'm interested to hear what your thoughts are on him. I've actually watched quite a bit of him, being Italian. And I truly believe he, at 22 years old, bearing in mind, I don't know if you realise, only 22 years old, has a great future. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see him knocking on the door of the top 20 come the end of the year.
Wow. That's, I mean, it's high praise from a fellow Italian. Maybe he's been inspired by Yannick Sinner, though. That's the thing. Like,
maybe
Sinner,
top 30. I'm just looking at some of the names. 30 is a reasonable one.
Possibly. I mean, he's at 76 at the moment, like you said. But if he keeps on winning, and obviously the clay court swing, who knows if he has a good role on Garros as well.
Well, I think he's a better player than Massetti.
Wow.
At the moment.
I
think
he's... much about him. What's his game style like? And
just a fighter. He works very hard and he hits quite big. Bit of a stocky guy. But no, just best thing to do is just watch him yourself. He's not that consistent. And that's the only downside. And this is why I'm quite impressed that he's pulled it all together. I want to see how he now gets on in Buenos Aires. Like, can he go on and win that one? Because if he can go back-to-back in Argentina, then no one's going to doubt him.
Well, he's done.
I don't know who he's got next. Do you know?
I'll have a look. But he's done really well to come out of a slump last year. He had an 8-match losing streak in April last year. So to come out of that and come out the other side and now won an event and now doing well in the next event, I'm seriously impressed. So I still think that there is something to do with this whole... This Yannick Sinner has energised some of the young players. And it's no coincidence now that you're going to see some other Italians coming to the forefront. I've noticed Vavasori, he's playing quite well as at the moment too. He just beat
Caboli. Caboli's the other one.
Yeah, Caboli, really good player. Well, he could be playing Sebastian Baez again in that next round. And he's just beaten him in the last tournament, Dardari. So, he'll fancy his chances again. He could Cam Norrie in his section down that bottom half. And Cam Norrie's a gritty player as well. Very good on the clay.
I didn't realise Caboli's actually higher. And he's younger as well. He's 21.
Caboli's seriously good.
I don't know why I prefer Dardari. Maybe I'm getting them too confused in certain things. But from what I've seen, I really like Dardari and I think he's going to do very well.
Yeah, I mean, the Italians, I mean, take your pick right now. They've got so many.
Probably Sinner has motivated them.
I think so. You see somebody, bear in mind, Sinner's the same age, he's 22 years old. He must be looking at him thinking, if he can do it, why can't I do it? And they've probably got great team spirit. Obviously, Italy, like, they've done so well in the past few months as a team, as a unit together. Surely rubbing shoulders with a Grand Slam champion in Yannick Sinner now. Well, I think the sky's the limit for him and for Italian players. Come maybe the next 2 to 3 years are going to be big for Italy.
And they're all very good on the clay court. So with Roland Garros, and this being the countdown to Roland Garros, these players, what they need to do is climb up the rankings before the cutoff date so they can get in through automatic entry, because you know how tough a qualification is in a Grand Slam. There's going to be three tough matches to get there. It's going to be really challenging. You may even see some of them pitted up against each other in final rounds of qualifying. So there's no certainty they get in. So on that basis, what they need to do is keep playing these events, keep picking up enough points so they can get in automatically.
Do the Casper Ruud and pick up all the 250s. But I think it's possible for sure. One person I'm really sad that still having a torrid time of it, Diego Schwartzman. I think he had a wild card into this event. Still struggling for form, unfortunately. It wasn't a bad match.
I think that's one win in seven, I saw him saying. And in the press conference, he was talking and saying how he's not sure what the future holds now for him. He's going to have to assess things. He's very upset. He really had high hopes for the season. I mean, we did speak to him. Go check out the interview if you haven't seen it. It's quite fun talking about Lionel Messi. And it's a sad time for him. Hopefully he can come back to some kind of level, but I do fear this is kind of the end of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's 31 years old, so there's still time to get back into it. But I feel that the sport is sort of moving in a different direction. And
I don't think it's just that, man. I think he's just not the same level. And you've got a lot of young... It's not that forgiving, the clay courts. Like, if you're not at it, that's it. You get swallowed up by some of these players.
But look, that's what I mean. The level is constantly rising. And if his level isn't going to maintain to get with...
All of these names here are serious on clay courts.
Yeah, I mean...
Tobio, Echeverri, Sabo Vild, who even lost. I mean, they're class. Rias, who lost. Carabelli, these guys, they just eat you up. All of them will.
Some crazy score lines in there as well. I mean, Echeverri in this tournament. I mean,
mate, look at the odds. All the odds are like even. No one can call any of their matches.
Who do you reckon is the favourite for this tournament? I mean, Echeverri's got a fanciest chances, surely.
I think Tobio.
There is, I believe Cam Norrie is in this one as well. He's the Norrie second seed. And Alcalaz, don't forget him, he's also
Right. Maybe him then.
He's at the top. He's playing Ugo Carabelli next. Yeah, he's at the top of the draw and he'll be playing Carabelli next. But we could see some exciting matchups. Yeah. We've got Laszlo.
I watch a lot of them. I love watching these kind of events. So
it's the best time, isn't it? Yeah. When you get to watch these matches down on those clay courts of South America. I mean, watch so many challenger matches there. It's just nice when you get some of the top players playing there as well. And I'm happy Alcaraz has travelled over there because apparently they put in an extra stand as well. They've made it bigger from what it was last year as well. So well done to the organisers there over in Buenos Aires for really giving it like what it deserves, I think.
Right, let's save the thought about Alcaraz because he's going to be coming up next in the latest news. Right, the first topic in latest news is going to be about Carlos Alcaraz, and it's going to be about a quote he said to the media. I'm not sure, maybe it was in Argentina, discussing what would he rather, and that is an Olympic gold medal this year or to win Roland Garros, to which he answered he would rather win Olympic gold.
That's it, and here it is. What do we make of this? We can have the debate. Let us know in the comments section as well. Which one would you rather have? Would you rather win Roland Garros or the Olympics? I mean, it depends. For me, this is it's a tough one. It depends how patriotic you are or how much Grand Slams mean to you. I mean, a lot of people grow up watching the Olympics and it means the world to them. Like they'll watch every single Olympics since they were born. So it is a big thing, the Olympic gold medal to some people. Is it as big in tennis terms for me? I don't think so. I think Roland Garros, I mean, it's been so hard to peel it off of Rafael Nadal's fingertips over the past God knows how many years that to just get your name on the trophy, ask the likes of Djokovic. I mean, he'd happily take another one as well. But I think Alcaraz is going to have another chance so many chances for Olympic gold in his career. I think surely got to aim for Roland Garros as soon as possible.
Well, he'll be aiming for both. That's not the question. Yeah. It's more what would you rather win if you had to choose one. For me, it's obvious. It's Roland Garros. I think it's tougher. I would want to achieve something which is the toughest thing in the sport to do. And I think winning a Grand Slam is that. I don't think winning an Olympic gold medal necessarily is. That's why you get them freak results from time to time where people win gold medals who aren't necessarily at the top of their game.
What about this question then? He should have been posed this one. If you end your career, and you only have one, an Olympic gold medal or a Roland Garros title, which one do you want to end your career with?
It's got to be a Roland Garros title.
Surely.
I am still a little bit skeptical of tennis in the Olympics, like football. I can understand the case for it, and I do get excited when it's happening, so I can't complain. And we've seen some great matches with Murray, Del Potro, Nadal. So there's a great history there, but still, Grand Slams are the pinnacle of the sport, and no one will ever change my opinion of that. Of course, it is amazing to have an Olympic medal, but I feel an Olympic medal in another discipline weighs a lot more than what the one for tennis would do.
Yeah, I totally.
It's not quite a 100-meter sprint, is it?
No, definitely is not a 100-meter.
Or shot put. I'd rather that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I can't really compare the two. I'm even surprised that it even comes up as a debate when they're talking about like, but so and so hasn't won the Olympics. I mean, the long and short of it is people are striving for Grand Slam titles in tennis, and tennis wasn't always at the Olympics. You got to remember that, whereas Grand Slams have pretty much always been within tennis.
Djokovic is probably going for Olympic gold because he's already done everything else so many times.
Exactly. That's why I said that other question. It's like if we said this to Carlos Alcaraz then, let's just say you got the option. You end your career with 5 Roland Garros titles or 5 Olympic gold medals. Which one do you want? I mean, it'd be good to end with 5 Olympic gold medals.
Well,
but then
considering they happen every 4 years, Ben, that's pretty tough guard.
Yeah, I know. It'd be amazing.
To
peak
every
mean.
4 years.
That's maybe a better question to ask. What would you rather want?
Well, another question. Let's move on to the next part of latest news. And that is Jannik Sinner. Surprise, surprise. Ooh. And he was asked if he thinks he can reach world number one.
Jannik Sinner.
And this is what he had to say. He said, "Let's see. I don't like to talk about ranking. I just try to be happy on court and improve as a player. That's the only thing I can control. I can't control the uncontrollable. I'm happy. I'm 4-4 at the moment. My dream is to become number one in the world. I will work as hard as possible, but you have to make steps. Next is 3. I know if I want to get to number one, I have to improve. It's going to be, hopefully, a good process." So I'm posing the question to you, Ben. Do you think he will reach world number one this year?
Oh. What points? I think he can.
Don't look at the points now, mate. We're in February.
I know, but it's just like one of those things. We're not talking about will he end the year as world number one. I'm just meaning like as it's a harder thing to guess when points are dropping off and then he's gaining other ones. And I think he will.
At one point, do you reckon he'll be world number one?
I think at one point that the points will drop off for Djokovic and we'll see Jannik Sinner. It might not be for long, but it might be he just grabs it for like a month or something.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting if that does happen to see how he handles it, because when Alcaraz was world number one, we saw that was his worst spell. Mm. It does happen to some players when they're at the top.
It's
often
true.
The pressure of being number one can be another thing altogether. So I'd like to see it happen. I don't think it's going to happen this year. But if it does, like you think it will, I want to see how he handles it. And it would be good if he can handle it better than Alcaraz did.
He's not far behind. You've got to remember this.
No.
Like obviously, with once Roland Garros commences...
I mean, what did he do last year at Roland Garros, for example?
Well, that's a good point. That's what I was just about to literally look up. And
I ruined it for you.
Yeah, you did. But that's fine. We can have a look at that now. I mean, I can't think off the top of my head.
I can tell you here, he lost to Daniel Altmaier in the second round.
And even
it was
better for him.
5 sets.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of the
second
sets,
round,
I remember it well, and it was an incredible match, one of the best matches of the tournament. But unfortunately, he just came up against a guy with a one-handed backhand that was in like amazing form in Altmaier, and he just got beaten by the better man on the day. That is brilliant news for Jannik Sinner.
Yeah.
If Djokovic drops off all of his points, and then you get Yannick Sinner go deep in the tournament, this could be the tournament. You don't know. Roland Garros could be the one that he finally realises it. Unless Alcaraz maybe goes on and wins Roland Garros. Who knows? Maybe Medvedev wins Roland Garros. I don't know. There's so many possibilities. But that is massive because he's not actually that far behind. He's like 1,800 points behind. But that Roland Garros, as soon as it starts, they're pretty much level.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting.
But Djokovic is over in America, don't forget, and he hasn't been there for a while.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to say. So there's a lot of points to play out. It's a wild assumption to make. No one really knows, but let us know in the comments section. What do you guys think? Do you think Sinner will reach world number one in this year? And also, what would you rather, an Olympic gold medal or a Roland Garros title? Let's move on to the next section of the video. And this one is Tennis Shootout.
Right, Tennis Shootout. This is where myself and JG ask each other a piece of tennis trivia relating to the Grand Slam we're counting down to. We are counting down to Roland Garros and we're only 104 days to go. So, I believe you went first last week. So I will go first this week with my question and I'll pose it to you.
Is it multiple choice or not?
I mean, it can be if you want. Go on then. I'll make it multiple choice.
No, you don't have to because I didn't do multiple choice.
It's fine. I'll make it multiple choice just for you. Okay, here we go. So as we've been talking about the men's and as we've been talking about how difficult it is to get the grip of that trophy away from Rafael Nadal over the past two decades, let's say. There's only a few men who have done it. And one of them only did it once. Yeah, this man was Roger Federer. Once in his career, he won the French Open title. But what I want to know is, which was the year that Roger Federer won the French Open?
Oh, that's a good question.
Was it 2005, 2007, or 2009? And they're your three options. Go.
Everyone's going to hate me if I get this wrong. 2007. No. The thing is, you've thrown me off because I thought 2000 and... I'll stick with it.
You're going to go back through all of Rafa's wins?
No, because I thought 2005 initially, but I knew it took him a while to do it, so maybe it's not.
It's quite a long time ago, isn't it, now, if we think about that? All right, so there
it's
you go.
It's not that. I can tell by your reaction.
So,
2009, isn't it?
It's good. Yeah, you go. He's got it on the second guess. It was, in fact, 2009 when Roger Federer won his only Roland Garros title. It wasn't against Rafa, obviously. It was against Robin Soderling. And, yeah, he won it in straight sets. Nice, comfortable win for Big Rog. But he did lose the final four times to Rafael Nadal. Probably was a bit bitter, I'm sure. Making it all the way to the final, only to be beaten by the same guy multiple times. But that's it. Yeah, unfortunately, it was 2009, though, mate.
Shambolic. Right. Hopefully yours, you can do a little bit better.
We'll wait and see.
Okay, so mine is surrounding YouTube.
Oh, no.
And Roland Garros. So, as you know, we have a somewhat successful tennis YouTube channel. And we currently have, let me just do an updated one, 58,248 subscribers on YouTube.
Not bad.
To the nearest 10,000, how many subscribers does the Roland Garros YouTube channel have?
Okay. All right. Okay. I mean, this is a very interesting one. We haven't had one about YouTube yet before on here, so, I mean, The only thing that I do know, I think Wimbledon have the most on their one, and I think their one was probably something in the range of about, I think it was like 1.8 million or something like that. So I'm going to go Roland Garros would probably be up there. I reckon second on the list of the slams. And I reckon it would probably have around 1.3 million subscribers. That'd be my guess. Okay. Does it have to be to 10,000, you say?
I mean, you can have to 100,000 the way you're guessing.
I mean, yeah, I'll go with that. Right.
Oh. Right. So, yeah, you're nowhere near whatsoever. Oh. It's actually half. They've got 638,000 subscribers on YouTube. So Game to Love's catching them up.
Well, if we could have half of their subscribers, I'd be happy.
They get to post the matches as well, and we're a tenth of the way there.
It's true, actually. Yeah. Yeah, what are they up to? Come on. Yeah, are they second on the list then, or are they not even
I think
second?
They are. I think Wimbledon was like 1 point... I'm guessing, by the way, 1.1 million, I thought it was.
Okay, maybe I just got the ratios mixed up.
I thought the Australian Open's last, I think, and US Open third, but that's off the top of my head. People can probably comment and say how wrong I am. But yeah, there we go. That does sum up a pretty abysmal tennis shootout section. Last up, we've got some Q&As.
Whee.
Here it is. Thank you, everyone, for giving us some questions. Ben selected some of his favourites, and we're going to go through them right now. So what do we have first?
All right, let's have a look on here. Cheers, everybody. Put this little post out. Ask a question. Let's go into the first one. It's an interesting question, this one. It says, why does Murray sound like he ate hot soup when he runs for a drop shot?
I think he just makes so many noises regardless. Like, he's just someone who's very vocal on the tennis court.
Yeah.
But now you say it does sound like hot soup.
It is.
It's like,
yeah. I always thought it was like very laboured when he was like running to the net as well. It was like
it's not an age thing either. I feel like he's always been like that.
Yeah, it looked like he was almost about to fall over every time he nearly got to the net as well. So I don't know if it's just something. Maybe it's like hot potato, like when you're trying to like juggle one. But I have no idea why he sounds like that. Maybe it's just Andy Murrayism. There's plenty of them, but that's just one of his.
Great question, though. Thank you, gentlemen. Next ASMR. One to Murray. Should Murray skip the clay court season altogether and head straight for the grass? Yes, he should, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to be gaining much. I mean, he's even been talking about going back down to the challengers now, which I don't think is a bad idea, to be honest, for him. Gain a bit of confidence.
I think avoid the clay, though.
After losing to Pear, I think it's destroyed his, like, it's really destroyed his, like, mental now. So he really needs to get back on the horse and start winning matches before he gets back on the grass. So moving down. This one from Dr. Fearful. What are your new jobs? This is from the last episode where JG just announced that, yeah, we both started new jobs. So
would you like to go first?
Well, it's quite similar to our last jobs, but it's just like a little step up from them. So it was I was working in sort of more credit controlling before, and now I'm more like financial accounting.
Yeah, so me, I've done something completely different. I'm now a swimmer, professional swimmer.
Wow.
So been, yeah, different to working behind a laptop all day. I get to spend some time by the pool, practice my strokes.
Get use of those webbed feet as well.
And yeah, my swimming's getting quite good.
So I'm impressed. You used to be a lifeguard as well, didn't you?
Not yet.
Oh,
you don't have the abs for that.
Working towards that. Baywatch. Watch the space. Right, moving down. So we've got, what do you think about Runa's whole coaching situation? Another coach gone. Obviously, Becker now out. I don't think this is positive.
Didn't last long.
Yeah, I feel like he's a bit of a hard person to get on with by the looks of it.
Yeah, similar to Raducanu, that was my initial feeling.
Have to start dating.
I don't know. I feel like Boris was saying stuff about how he doesn't have much time and he's got other things going on, but I think he's just covering for Runa. If I was to read between the lines, he was like, oh, I've got too many other things. I couldn't give him the right time he deserves.
That's two top
coaches. Rooney's results has been a bit suspect.
That's two top coaches in a row now. Mouratoglou, Becker. I mean, where does he go next is the big question. Is he going to be trying to pinch Darren Cahill from... is this the only person who can make it happen? I don't know. Yeah, I'm not very... I just hope he gets one and he sticks with it for at least a couple of years. That'll be the best thing for him. And what's this one? Just a final one. Wouldn't be fitting without a Djokovic supporter in there saying Novak Djokovic's... I think they're supposed to say career is not over. We didn't think it was. One more question. Do you think Novak Djokovic can win another slam?
Do you think he can?
Yes, of course he can.
No, I think he's finished. I don't think he'll win another slam now. I think he'll really struggle.
What about the Olympics then?
Might do. No, you can never write him off. That's the thing. I don't think he was particularly that bad at the Australian. I'm just struggled in the semi-final against Sinner. It's a very uncharacteristic performance. But before that, you was looking at it thinking who's going to beat him. So, of course, he's going to go deep in the slams. And he's got a shot of winning any of them. So... you never know. Let's just see what happens. I think it's going to be dependent on how Sinner and Alcaraz fare on Medvedev. If they go out early or maybe knock each other out and they get to play Djokovic in a fashion where they're not at their best, then, or if Djokovic just hits full form, then he can win it anyway. So never, ever discount him.
I totally agree with that. But that sort of caps off... another episode of The Countdown. Make sure you have hit a like on the video and subscribe to the channel. Send us in your questions for next week's episode as well. We will be reviewing all of the winners from this week. Obviously, there's a lot of tournaments going on. And will we be announcing Naomi Osaka back on the tour with a tournament win? Who knows?
Hopefully, Osaka, a Darderi double, and Alex Dimonor. But you'll see how wrong this is and laugh at me in a week's time. Thanks for watching. Happy Valentine's Day. Like and subscribe and go check us out on Spotify. We can listen to our beautiful voices on such a romantic day. See you all soon.
La la la.
Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.